The Run Home with Ox and Marco.
Worst captains of all time. Next year, we win the Ashes very, very, very easily. I don't reckon Don Bradman in this current era would have averaged anywhere near 99. We could save some money by not going there, I reckon.
Never holds back. Rodney Hogg, SEN cricket expert, all with thanks to Cricketers Arms Session Ale, the mid-strength ale with a refreshing big taste. And Steve Carlo and Steve and the team at Windsor Management Insurance Brokers joins us in the studio. Hello, Hoggy.
How are you, guys? Matty?
Good.
Big fella?
Hoggy, how are you going, mate? How'd you hit him this morning?
Not bad, thanks. Thanks for asking. I don't think anybody driving around is interested, but I hit a few good ones this morning.
You look like you got a spring in your step.
Yes.
So it's normally it's a good sign. If you hit the golf ball well, you mean your whole life's going well.
Well, I've just done an ad upstairs, so
okay.
I'm a bit more ready, pumped up for this segment. And we've got a great man on.
Bit of something?
Simon Kadich.
Bit of something to put on the table?
Nothing to put on the table. I haven't got a table. And Simon's, if anybody's looking to turn to someone in Australia for a real down-the-earth chat, he's the man you turn to, isn't he?
Well, should we introduce him now? He's ready for us now. Simon Kadich, a former Australian batsman, joins us. Hello, Simon.
Good afternoon, guys.
Now, I understand it was tiger time for you on Saturday.
It certainly was. I've waited a long time, like a lot of the Richmond supporters, and it was well worth the wait. It was fantastic to watch and a very well-deserved premiership.
Now, well done, Simon. I remember back in the good old days, when you were playing for WA, I think you spent a bit of time with the boys over there. So you bleed yellow and black, don't you?
I certainly do. Thanks, Danny. I remember meeting you, I think it was for the first time in 2001.
Was I grumpy?
No, you weren't. I think the boys were going pretty well.
Oh, we're going okay times. That year. That's very good.
Yeah, so I appreciate the opportunity to come in and meet everyone. And obviously it was hard the week before because I spent 2 years working full time at the Giants, which I loved, and I love the boys there, and my son is a passionate GWS man, being based in Sydney, and I took him to the prelim, and I was torn because I really wanted to see both sides do well, but at the end of the day, the better team won, and I'm sure the Giants' time will come down the track, but it was fantastic for Richmond fans on Saturday.
When you're a runner and you're on the ground, did you get out of the way of Dustin Martin or did you go near him or did you get a bit scared?
Well, it was quite funny. One of the games we played at Spotless Stadium, I was torn. It was my first year there and I still support Richmond, but obviously I was working with the boys there and they knew that I had their full support, and he was having a bit of a dust-up with someone at centre-half forward, and I felt obliged to go over there and try and rip him off. But at the end of the day, I think sanity prevailed and I made sure I kept my distance because he's a big boy and, geez, I tell you what, he can play. It's great to watch, and I think for any Richmond fan, knowing that he's re-signed for the next, 7 years or whatever it is, it's going to be a fantastic time for the club.
What are you doing with yourself now, Simon? As you said, a couple of years at GWS. What's rowing your boat at the minute?
Yeah, look, I've been fortunate to have those couple of years at the club, and I still probably would have still been there, had a couple of things not happened off the field, which with a young family, I felt that I needed to have a bit more time with my young boys at home. And so now, rather than working full time, I'm sort of being able to, I got back into cricket and have a few opportunities with the IPL coaching there. And our franchise owns a couple of the franchises around the world. So I've had a couple of gigs. Just recently got back from the Caribbean coaching Trinbago Knight Riders. So, I've got a bit more balance between, my boys at home and family and then with work. So I'm pretty lucky.
The problem that happened between the ACA and the board, well, the wash-up after that, are you happy? Were you involved firstly? You had a bit to do with the ACA, haven't you? You're on the board?
Yeah, I was on the executive when I played for about 6 years. And it was a great experience being able to help out there. And then about 12 months ago, Alistair Nicholson knew that I was sort of, I guess, doing a few things, bits and pieces in cricket and asked if I'd get back involved for this last 12-month period with the MOU and having been involved in them previously. So I played a role as player relations manager, which was basically, liaising between the Australian men's and women's teams in that 12-month period and sitting on the executive again. So, it was my role was probably, I guess, to take a little bit of pressure off the players in terms of speaking publicly about what was going on and let them just sort of get on with business of training and playing. And, it was a pretty volatile period there for a while, particularly after June 30. But thankfully, the deal got done. Whether the relationships have been damaged, only the players can probably answer that and staff at CA. But hopefully, as time goes on, you know, those things can be repaired.
It's interesting how it's run now. Hopefully, it's smooth sailing from here. But it's just interesting the value of Shield cricket. A lot of us oldies, we feel that that's been declining based on the attitude of Cricket Australia. How do you feel? Because you're one of the guys, Mike Hussey, Chris Rogers, and yourself are three blokes who have had to really earn your stripes, and now we're seeing a few blokes just get pushed through pretty easily. What are your thoughts on all that?
Yeah, I made my thoughts pretty clear about that in the last 12 months with this role, and particularly not only the Shield but the Matador Cup. You know, I love the Big Bash, but the Big Bash obviously is in prime time in the summer, and it's really had a big impact, you know, on the Sheffield Shield scheduling and I guess the competition as such for guys trying to get into the test team, because you've got a six-week window, and with those tests being played, you know, Boxing Day in Sydney, if there's any injuries or loss of form, very difficult for some of the young batsmen to force their way into the test team, or even young quicks if they're coming on the, you know, off the back of bowling four overs or batting for 20 balls in a T20. So, look, it's obviously the landscape. The players understand that now, and to the players' credit, they just get on with the job. But I think, you know, from an administrator's point of view, if we're aiming to be number one test nation in the world, then there's something that has to be looked at. And, you know, the Sheffield Shield is a vital ingredient in producing, you know, test players. And that's the hard part, is that, you know, with such a big gap in between the first five and then the last five games in the season, it makes it tough for the modern players to sort of get any momentum, whether it's with the bat or the ball, having that big break. But, look, the players, you know, the players certainly cherish playing for Australia, and I think we're fortunate that our top players that are very good at T20 as well, you know, guys like David Warner and Steve Smith and Mitchell Starc, they still really obviously have a lot of pride in wearing the baggy green. So that's a blessing for us that there's, you know, those guys are very good role models in terms of teaching the young guys that it's still, you know, a big thing to be playing test cricket for Australia.
England have had three great all-rounders in modern times, and I reckon the three of them are pretty tough. Both of them in 78. He was going to fight about five bikies in a car park up in Brisbane. No, he was. He was going to take them on. They all backed off, both of them. He was a pretty tough man. Then I know you had some encounters with Flintoff. I don't know about fisticuffs, but certainly his fast bowling in 2005 and 9 was incredible. And he was another tough man. What are your thoughts on... Have you run across Ben Stokes at all in your travels?
Yeah, played against Ben Stokes. Look, he's obviously a very good all-rounder and competitor, and with what's happened recently, I don't know the ins and outs at the moment of the ongoing investigation, but you know, it's a pretty serious offence what's happened, so obviously the police determine what the outcome is there. But you know, if he wasn't to come for the Ashes, it's obviously a massive blow for England. But you know, they've got a decent team. They just, at the moment, their strength lies in their probably middle order, and maybe, you know, they've got some experience with the ball. And Moen Ali's been playing some good cricket, but in terms of, I think Australia can certainly exploit their top order, very vulnerable at the moment. And with our quicks, if they're all up and going, I think our guys will bat well in Australia, so I can't see us losing the Ashes.
What went wrong in India, do you think, Simon?
Look, I think they're obviously coming out of Bangladesh, so there shouldn't be any issues with adapting to the conditions, because they're very similar. Obviously, it's a different format. But I just think with the one-day stuff, sometimes, you know, there's a little bit of a tendency to sort of play around with the team and give, you know, young guys, because there's obviously a view to the future and they're looking at the 2019 World Cup. But I still think the most important thing is winning the next game that's there. And I guess in the first few games, they give young Hilton Cartwright opportunity at the top of the order, and you know, he didn't make the most of those opportunities. He's a good young player, but, you know, he's still finding his feet at that level and has point to prove, you know, now having been dropped. Matthew Wade's obviously had his issues with the bat, and I think, you know, for him to be dropped over there has sent a pretty significant signal to him about the need to make runs moving forward. And I think probably even some of Steve Smith's comments, you know, about the way the batsmen performed throughout the series is a sign that, you know, he's probably getting a little bit frustrated, because you look at that team at the moment, and obviously Steve Smith and David Warner are the two standouts, and I think India knew that. And you know, I should admit that Aaron Finch is probably in there as well. His form was good, and he was a big loss when he didn't play the first few games. So, you know, there's a few issues there probably with the bat, and it's just about making the most of their opportunities. Those guys to play, they just haven't made the most of their opportunity.
I got a bit of a bone to pick you. 2009, I stood on the ground at the end at the start of the second day's play at Cardiff. I was doing a pitch report and I said there'd be no century scored in this game. You got 122. Ponting got 150. North 125 not out, and Hayden 121.
Stuff that up.
How did you bloody well play Swan and Panisso so well?
Well, a little bit of experience helped, I think, Hoggy.
Was it Turner's wicket?
Yeah, no, it always does spin a bit, Cardiff. But look, that was a high-scoring game. The hard part about that test, mate, was that it all counted for nothing in the end because Anderson and Panesar and whoever else on that last day when England were gone, with, you know, 20 or 30 overs to go, they hung in there. And in the end, that cost us that Ashes series. And that's probably one of the biggest regrets in my career, was that we probably outplayed them in that series, didn't win that test, and it cost us the series. So disappointing.
Simon, as we let you go, how many times have you watched the replay of the grand final?
I haven't watched the replay yet, but I tell you what, I've sung the Richmond theme song about 50 times. And that was just on the first night.
It was a beautiful day for you.
Good to hear from you.
Thanks for picking up the phone and having a chat with us.
My pleasure, guys.
Simon Kaddick's joining
us.
Did you ever do a pitch report again after that pathetic effort, Hoggy?
Yeah, the rest of the series.
Bronny Hogg is with us. Now, Hoggy, we just got smashed in the series over there in India. Our coach, Darren Lehman. Where was Darren Lehman through that period?
Well, I find a count at the grand final.
He was at the grand final.
What? Yeah.
He wasn't over with his team.
I find cricket just a little bit, the accountability. We've played some test matches, then we've played the one days in India, and then we'll go to T20s.
Yep.
Just identifying who's doing what and who's failing and who's not failing. And I think just in this series, we've come to the conclusion Hanscom may not be a one-day player. We might have come to the conclusion that Wadey's career might be over. We've come to the conclusion that Stoinis can't bowl at that level, at the international level, or he's got a lot of improvement to do. And then we've just lost 5-1 to one-day internationals. Now, when you're trying to do some research down the track a little bit and you're making a decision on Darren Lehman, well, Lehman can say, well, I wasn't involved in those five losses. So how do you...
What do you mean he wasn't involved in it?
Well, he wasn't there. So if you lose five games, Sakes was there, and Sakes will do a good job. But at the same time, down the track, is Lehman a great coach, or how's he going, and how are we travelling?
Mm.
But when you can just come up, I wasn't there. So
do you think he should have been there?
Well, I would have thought so. Thought so. He's not doing much in October. Have October off.
Yeah. Before we let you go, cricket is usually a pretty resilient spud.
Are.
They don't take too many things to heart. But we're just discussing off air. One of Hoggy's colleagues did dirty up a little bit on your program, The Bounce, a couple of years ago.
Well, Hoggy's been on The Bounce, and it's a lot of it's tongue in cheek. So there was an era there when Gazy was on, and I've got a fairly sizable melon, and Chief's got a big one. So we decided to measure our heads.
Yeah.
Like, and Gazy won hands down.
He did.
It was just huge. It's like having its own solar system, Gazy's. But anyway, Flem was laughing, and sort of Chief looked at the side of him, and Flem had this sort of little pointy bit at the back of his head and said, "Don't you laugh, Flem. You've got a pointy head." And, of course, Flem started he just completely stopped laughing. He thought, okay, it's all right to give it, but I'm not going to cop it. And Chief goes, "Flem, what's wrong?" He said, "Oh, nothing." And Chief goes, "It's not your fault every night you go to bed, you put your head in an anvil." Anyway, we normally have a drink, one stubby after the show, drink responsibly, and we didn't have a drink. We went downstairs and Flem pulled in the car across the road and he drove past with his window down and we waved and Flem never waved back. And that's the last we saw of him for 6 months. He threw the toys out of the cot. But we get on well now.
All because of the pointy head.
Of his head sleeping with an anvil.
A lot of his ideas, he was an early settler in that show. His ideas were used in the program, wasn't it?
No, it was. Turn It Up was his. But he's come back now. It took a while. Took him 4 years to come back and laugh about it. But don't bring up his pointy head, though.
Good on you, Hoggy.
Well done, Hoggy.
Good to see you.
Golf next week.
The Run Home with Ox and Marco. 3-7 weekdays on 11:16 SEN. Melbourne's home of footy.